broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for March 20th in the year of our Lord, 2024. This is our one of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country, to do so using the checks and balances in the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. We reject revolution unless it's a Jesus revolution, then we're in. We actually stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. James Edwards with me, well-known author, talk show host, family man, and more. Yeah, we're talking about race, politics, and hypocrisy in the 21st century. You want to learn more, check out his award-winning Saturday Night Live show at thepoliticalcesspool.org, or you can listen anytime you like on demand at thepoliticalcesspool.org. James, welcome back, sir.
Sam, I have never been this fired up. This is saying a lot, ladies and gentlemen. Fired up in so much as we've got a lot to talk about today. The attack on freedom of speech, assembly, the very basic civil rights and human rights of dissidents is blossoming like you've never seen, both here in the United States with interesting stories and around the world. But the thing that ties them all together is we've got the inside track. We know the people involved in these stories that are making worldwide news. We'll get to it in time.
Roger that, ladies and gentlemen. My headline for this whole hour really is this: James and Sam break it all down, cutting through the media spin, documenting the crushing nature of which they are trying their damnedest to stamp out free speech and peaceful assembly worldwide. That's what's happening, ladies and gentlemen. Now, you heard about the Peter Navarro story at the top of the hour in the mainstream press. I'm disappointed in the mainstream press on how they go ahead and manipulate these things. All right. Peter Navarro is his name. He served as a trade advisor, a senior advisor in the Trump White House. He was jailed on Tuesday, quote, for contempt of Congress for refusing to testify about January the 6th. Now, the biggest reason I have a problem with all this, everybody else just goes into court and says, I can't recall. I don't remember. What does the word is mean? I'm not sure. In fact, this happened to Joe Biden, where he literally had classified information illegally spread all over Egypt. I should say America. Anyway, spread everywhere. And in the end, he's a dawdling old man. Didn't really remember, kind of confused. But he meant no harm. No harm, no foul, no worries. But yet you must testify in a case where you know that they've manipulated everything against you. He doesn't do it. They throw him in jail for 4 months to make a political statement. He is the first former Trump aide to go to prison for efforts, they say, relating to trying to steal the 2020 election, ladies and gentlemen. Navarro, 74, basically had to surrender to this, facility in Miami, a low-security facility, they claim. Now, here's my problem with all this. Folks, we're the ones that put up Stop the Steal. We're the ones that went to Congress and said, look, we believe this election is stolen. Will you please look into it? Congress not only did not do that, as we demanded them to, but then Congress allowed an insurrection to take place. The Republicans allowed the Democrats to literally lie on TV. And now the Republicans are supposedly in charge, doing nothing about it while Peter goes to jail. Who's next is the question. Free speech is the real question. Did they circumvent the peaceful transfer of power? No, they did not. As far as I understand, Don got on a plane and left. Joe rolled in. It was a peaceful transfer of power. It was an effort to get to the bottom of election integrity questions, which every day we're finding out more information regarding. That they lied, all right? While they say there's nothing to this election integrity issues, then why is my buddy Mark Fincham and why is my sister Carrie Lake literally going to the Supreme Court? The mainstream press says, well, they've shut them down all the time. Yeah, but how do they have enough legs to continue on all the way to the Supreme Court? Answer? Answer? There's fire where there's smoke. That's the answer. And ladies and gentlemen, I have articles now documenting vote machine fraud. Judges are involved. Court testimony is involved. We'll talk about it all. We're gearing up for an incredible event happening where we'll discuss this in great detail. Where? Las Vegas at the Ahern Hotel. When? April the 17th. It'll be a Wednesday, an all-day event with a press event at the end, a press conference, if you will. We've got international media, ABC News. Will be speaking of ABC News, we'll be talking about them in just a second. They're getting sued. We've got a lot to cover, ladies and gentlemen. I'll tell you that right now. And the international press will be there. The Russian press, the London press, ABC News. And we're just getting started because a lot of radio and TV networks are going to be covering it live. All alternative media, by the way, because we don't trust the mainstream press to get it right. That's why we're going to stream it all live. And that's why we're going to document everything we say and do so they can only spin the things so far. Anyway, our prayers are with Peter and family. I don't know Peter personally. I've interviewed a ton of Trump surrogates, and I'm gearing up for more. But I bring this up because, look, how does Joe walk free? How does Bill Clinton walk free when allegations of rape with evidence and literally your DNA on a dress, but yet, hey, no harm, no foul, Me Too movement shut up, bimbo eruptions continue, okay? But yet, hey, Joe Biden's free, Navarro's in jail, for what? What did he actually do? It's a witch hunt sham, ladies and gentlemen. But here's the point. They're not only going after Donald Trump. They're not only going after Peter Navarro. They're going after you and me. That's where this ends. With that introduction, James Edwards has personal examples of what's happening worldwide related to this as they get closer and closer to Sam and James and others on their march to denying free speech worldwide. James?
There is so much going on, ladies and gentlemen, that you need to be aware of. I think Sam was did you a service by bringing out this issue that is making big-time news here in the United States with Peter Navarro, which, by the way, I got to say, the headline here in the Associated Press reads, Peter Navarro is the first Trump White House official to serve prison time related to the January 6th attack. This is what they call it. And I think anytime you cover this story, you have to do a compare and contrast between the people who supported Trump and the people who didn't support Trump, the Black Lives Matter and Antifa terrorists. I mean, literal terrorists. There's no other way you can, there's no other word that really applies. And of course, they're called peaceful protesters. People like Navarro are going to prison. But, you know, I got to give him credit, Sam. He is going to prison with a sense of defiance. He is not apologizing. And he had a great line before he reported for his sentence, calling the conviction the, quote, partisan weaponization of the judicial system. And he nailed it spot on. This is a weaponized thing, and it's being selectively used and targeted towards dissidents, people who push back against the, I guess you could just put it, the woke narrative. And Navarro's a big case, but there are other cases that are making worldwide global headlines, not on obscure blogs that you have to go down a rabbit hole to get, but very big news across the world, very similar, where they are trying to absolutely stamp out people who speak up against the system. And I can start anywhere you want, but what's interesting about these cases is we've got connections to, or we know outright, the people involved. So do you want to start in the UK? And we'll circle back to a lesser-known case here in the United States, which is equally chilling.
Yes, we do, sir.
All right, so the first thing we've got, this is from the BBC. As I said, folks, this is all very big global news, the BBC. And it involves a guy, you won't know his name most likely. His name is Sam Melia. Sam Melia. And the headline reads, far-right activist jailed after sticker campaign. And of course, if you go and you read any of these stories, and I encourage you to do that, there's nothing to hide, the stories, when they're going after somebody that has some common ground with people like Sam and I, and you and I, of course, they're going to illustrate the article with a mugshot that shows them looking a little bit contemptuous. You know, remember the case of Michael Brown where he tried to steal the officer's gun and killed him, and that led to the Ferguson riots, which was a precursor to the Floyd riots. You know, they made him look like an angel. They put him in his cap and gown. This guy was trying to take a cop's gun and kill him. And it led to so much unrest and anarchy. But they always make those guys look good. And, of course, they were just cherub little angels all the way through. Trayvon Martin, you name it. But when it's one of our guys.
Continue, James.
Very different story. You read these stories, and you're going to read words like anti-Semite, neo-Nazi, white supremacist. This is what they call everyone. If you don't get it now, folks, this is just stuff to where if you read it, you'll be like, oh, well, they're only going after those guys. Okay, I get what you're thinking, but you're not thinking right, and you're not seeing it clearly. This is what they call everyone with whom they disagree now. It has absolutely gotten to that point. It was near that point in 2010.
Yeah, they're
going
to hashtag me the blind racist is what they're going to do to make the point, right, ladies and gentlemen?
Well, this is what they do. They illustrate these stories with people looking kind of ominous, kind of sketchy, their mugshots. And they use all of these adjectives. Oh, well, they're just going after these. Well, yeah, that's fine. They're going, a guy like that, he should probably be in prison. All right, but here's what's really going on. The BBC headline, with that background now having been put out there, Sam Melia, far-right activist jailed after sticker campaign. What Sam Melia really is a good guy. I have a friend who is an attorney in Florida, a very successful, very prominent Florida attorney, and he flew to the UK a few weeks ago, earlier this year, and he set in for the trial of Sam Melia. And he knows these people. He knows his wife. Sam Melia is a young guy. He's 34. He's married. He has a very young child. His wife is currently pregnant with their second baby. And he is not going to be there for the birth or for the first several milestones for the next year or two because he's going to go into prison. Why is he going to prison in the UK? Because he distributed... He distributed stickers that said it's okay to be white. That is it. That is all. Full stop. End of story. There was nothing else to it.
He also had a stickers library, too, where he let people download stickers talking about, hey, illegal immigration is a problem, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a variety of stickers, but all of them are just opinions. It's like making a T-shirt with something you believe in or whatever. It's a free speech opportunity. He took advantage of it, used the internet, made these stickers available. And he's not guilty for his beliefs, they claim. He's guilty for what? Stirring up hate? Is that
That's what they're calling it, of course. They're saying that he is propagating, spreading hatred by saying...
Which it's okay to be white.
It's okay to be white or opposing the UK's immigration system, which, of course, everybody, Donald Trump, everybody here on the Republican side now is saying, hey, our borders, we got a lot. He's saying the same thing that Republicans say here about our border and our immigration system.
Yeah,
he's saying it over there.
In the UK, where they're a little further along in the violation of the free speech than we are, not much. We're and close nipping at their heels, but this is what we see, right?
And they would love... They would love to catch up to the UK where you can actually put people like us in jail, not just deplatforming us, not just taking away our ability. It is economic terrorism to take away somebody's ability to engage in lawful support and commerce and have online credit card processing systems like everybody else has. They do all of that now, and of course they smear us in the press the same way they're smearing this guy. He's a neo-Nazi because he said it's okay to be white. He's a white supremacist because he doesn't think you should have rampant, unchecked immigration from people who are causing so much harm and violence.
Yeah, well, I'm going
to
double down and say it is okay to be white, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, and so, and this is it. So, I get it. You go, you read, you Google Sam Melia. They say all of these things. They show you a scary mugshot. It's not really that scary. He's just sitting there. I mean, he's not smiling. Who does in their mugshot except for Trump? But
in fact, for your driver's license and for oftentimes for your mugshot, they tell you you're not allowed to smile.
So, there you go. And so you read this stuff. You're going to read all of these slurs. None of it's true. All right, none of it's true. So you got to wrap your mind around that. The bottom line is, young husband and father, his wife is just a sweetheart, and he's going to prison now for a long time for distributing or having a website where people could download stickers that say it's okay to be white. All right, so this is where we're at in the UK, but it doesn't stop there. Just a little bit further to the east in Europe, in Belgium, you have the case of Dries van Langenhove. Now, Dries van Langenhove is a former member of parliament in Belgium. He's 30 years old. He is a rising star in a big way. I actually had the chance to speak at a conference last fall at which he also spoke, so I had the opportunity to meet him. I am friends with a member of parliament in Belgium, Philip de Winter, very high-profile politician in Europe. He's a friend of ours. Talked to him recently, did a Q&A with him. He's been on my program. So we know some of the same people, and I had the chance to meet Dries at this conference that we both spoke at last year. Incredible guy by all accounts. Well, listen to this. Now, listen to this. If you thought the Sam Melia case was scary, and it is, in Belgium, this young man is going to prison. He's going to prison once again for these ubiquitous charges of propagating hate or whatever. But it was because he was in a group chat. All right, now listen to this. Stay with me, ladies and gentlemen. So imagine you're in a group chat with your friends. Let's just say me and Sam and some of our friends are on a text message chat on our phone, okay? And somebody in the text message chat says something that the delicate that could offend the delicate sensibilities of a liberal. Now, of course, what's offensive to somebody might not
be
offensive
to me
somebody.
Every day, man. What the hell are you talking about?
So let's just say somebody in our group chat says it's okay to be white because we know that'll get you a prison sentence.
Yeah, I'm going to say it publicly on the radio. It is okay to be white, ladies and gentlemen. God made me that way, and I ain't backing down.
And they don't even say in this what was said that was offensive in anything that I've read so far. But they just said it's hate speech. So
no,
somebody.
It's offensive who he's hanging out with. That's the problem.
I don't even know that.
Association, right?
This guy's a member, was a former member of parliament at 30 years old.
Yeah, what's the American Renaissance piece, though? See?
Well, this is it. So I'm reading it right now. I'm reading from there right now. It's the title is Belgium Should Be Ashamed, and it's breaking down what happened here. He was in a group chat in which somebody said something that offended someone. Dries didn't even say it. He didn't even post it. And I don't even know what was actually said. Let's just say it's something as simple as it's okay to be white, because that's enough to do it. He is going to prison for not reprimanding the person who said the offensive thing in a group chat, for not calling it out, for not saying, hey, stop that. Folks, this is, it sounds unbelievable. It sounds like, surely, James, you're exaggerating to make a point. Surely you're embellishing. There's just no way. You're leaving something out. You're just making it sound worse than it is. I'm sorry. I just wish that was. Belgian politician Dries Van Langenhove has been sentenced to 1 year in prison because he belonged to a group chat where somebody else posted an offensive meme. He did not post the meme himself. And even if he did, it would not justify an arrest. He just did not respond to it. So this is it. And this is a guy, Sam, I gave you his background, former member of parliament already at 30 years of age. Not only is he going to prison, okay, not only is he going to prison, he is now forbidden to run for office for the next 10 years. He cannot be involved in politics for the next 10 years. So this, again, is just a naked case of the establishment taking out somebody that they see as a threat to what the agenda and the narrative that they're trying to push. A year in prison and forbidden to engage in political activism, that includes running for office, which he's a rising star there, already been elected to parliament, for the next decade. That effectively ends his political career.
Everything is about two topics, racist and hate-filled. And that's what they're hanging their hat on, and it's guilt by association. He did not post any meme or anything like that. He was in this chat. His guilt, he didn't stand up and stop it enough for them to be satisfied. He didn't,
and who knows if
quote,
he even saw
repudiate
it.
Repudiate this thing. Well, whether he saw it or not doesn't matter. He's a hater.
Whether he posted it or not doesn't matter. You know, I'm in group chats. All the people
right?
loop me into group chats on
you better get out
Telegram
of
and Signal. I can't. I mean, and there's just I don't. You know. Anyway, it doesn't even matter. Let's just say he did it. You're going to jail and being forbidden forever. I mean, I think I've done a little bit more digging since we're talking, reading some of these things. This is insane. A commenter writes, Belgian politician Dries Van Langenhove sentenced to 1 year in prison for being in a group chat with offensive memes. Free speech is on its deathbed. Whether it's offensive, was it illegal? Was it in poor taste? It wasn't illegal, even if it was in poor taste, and it says it's supposedly racist memes, but I don't know what that means. I don't know what's racist and what's not. I mean, I know everything's racist now to these people, so it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter if it actually was
offensive.
You do understand. Look, you're white, so everything that you do is racist.
Yeah, I know that.
And the fact that you deny it means you don't know that you're a racist. That's just further proof that it's true. Everybody else is not really racist except for guys like you that are white and don't literally put a necklace around their neck mimicking a chain of slavery to cover for their reparations abuses that they were never responsible for. See, that's where this is going, James.
Well, other commenters saying this is the absolute state of free speech in Europe. There is none. This guy literally did nothing. I mean, Sam Melia did nothing. He produced stickers that said it's okay to be white. He's going to jail, being taken away from his family. This definitely sends a message. Do not speak. Do not organize. Do not get out in the streets, or this will happen to you in Europe. But Sam Melia's case was one thing, but in this case, he wasn't even the person doing the thing that they were saying. Did the person who posted the meme? I mean, who knows if this wasn't even a plant? I don't know anything about it. All I know is he's going to prison and his political career is over. Hell of a guy. Had the chance to share the stage with him last year. Former member of parliament in Belgium. And then, that, you know, he's done. And he's done. And this is it. And this is what they want for all of us. And it's happening all over the world. I know we're coming up on a break here in just a second. When we come back, I'll tell you how it's happening here in America. We mentioned Peter Navarro. That's how we kicked this whole thing off. But it is a global effort to really turn up the heat. And they're turning up the heat because the tide is popular opinion. The tide is turning against their agenda. And now they've got that soft totalitarianism that we've all lived under. You're going to be called
you're
a name.
You're
going
to be shut out. Pardon you're going to be shut out. Can I say colors?
Oh, shut out
of true colors. But here's my question, James, about this whole thing. I believe the Peter Navarro story, even though I think what's being done to Peter is completely wrong and evil, I believe it's being used as a cover story to spike all these real stories right now. You talk too much about Peter.
I agree.
And you go, everybody's guilty. Yeah. Everybody's whatever. Da da da. And now none of these other stories matter because they're just part of the Peter Navarro takeover of January 6th, hate filled, racist filled. White supremacist extreme global threat around the world. That's where this is, right?
It is, and I think you're right. I mean, Peter Navarro's case is not nearly as chilling as the two cases we just mentioned in the UK and Belgium, respectively, and then in Canada.
Or the one you're going to cover after the break.
I've been talking with a couple of free speech activists in Canada. We're in the middle of my favorite time of the year on my program. It's called March Around the World. And during the month of March, we interview exclusively guests from out of the country, international elected officials, activists, leaders, commentators. And we just have a good time doing it. And so I've been covering these stories. We talked to a guy last week who had a long discourse with Elon Musk. And by the way, Elon Musk chimed in on the case of Dries Van Langenhove. And he contacted Dries publicly and openly on X and said, so someone else in this meme group chat posted a meme and you got a prison sentence over it. And Dries Van Langenhove, obviously, anytime Elon Musk does something like this, he does it so it will draw attention to it. I mean, he's not doing it. He does it knowing that it will draw attention. Dries Van Langenhove responding directly to Elon Musk on March the 12th, just a few days ago, saying, yes, even though the judge admitted that I never sent any of the memes, he argued that I should have done more to keep others from sending them, and he labeled the memes hate speech, which is punishable offense in Belgium. So Elon Musk is raising awareness to this, but in Canada, I was talking with two free speech activists over the first couple of weeks of March on my program. There's something in Canada called the Online Harms Bill. The Online Harms Bill. Now, you already have some pretty stiff punishment for so-called hate speech, and that's any speech that the left hates. In Canada, but it's not like what we're talking about in parts of Europe, the UK and Belgium, especially Germany too, where you go to prison, all right, for saying or not saying, or even being tangentially associated with so-called offensive speech, like it's okay to be white. But in Canada now, they're trying to pass a law called the Online Harms Act, I hear the music, where it's punishable by fines of over $10,000 and life. You heard it right. Life in prison. That's what they're trying to get done up in
Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. We got a lot of hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use straight ahead. You're listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Ryan Daniels. Those who advocate for immigrants say they do not trust Texas law enforcement officers to act in good faith, as they're now allowed to continue arresting people they suspect to be illegal immigrants under a Supreme Court decision announced Tuesday. Priscilla Olivares is with the Immigrant Legal Resource Center.
Operation Lone Star has also heightened racial profiling in many of our border communities. And unfortunately, what SB 4 means is that racial profiling will likely increase.
Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick argues the decision was a no-brainer.
We are being invaded by land, by sea, by air. It's drones. It's boats going into Florida. They have been taking drugs and illegal immigrants to Florida for years. Of course, millions have come across the border under Joe Biden.
Focus is shifting more to down-ballot races now that President Biden and former President Trump have each secured their party's nominations for the 2024 election. However, at the same time, both men can officially declare victories in several primary elections Tuesday. Voters cast ballots in Arizona, Florida, Illinois, Kansas, and Ohio. Vivek Ramaswamy out as a potential Trump number two. USA's John Schaefer has more.
A report indicates that Donald Trump has eliminated Vivek Ramaswamy as a potential running mate. According to Forbes, Trump informed the biotech entrepreneur directly that he was not being considered for the position, although he might be offered a cabinet role such as Homeland Chief if Trump wins the election. Insiders close to Trump informed Forbes that the former president is looking for someone with whom he shares greater ideological alignment.
You can officially lean into that spring cleaning plan.
It's Wednesday, March 20th, the first full day of spring. It arrived last night at 11:06 p.m., the earliest start to the season in 128 years.
USA's Laura Winters. This is USA News.
Omaha Steaks is rewriting the book on burgers with an all-new handmade texture for the juiciest home-style burgers you've ever tasted. Their pure ground burgers are made from single cuts of real aged Omaha steaks. These are truly steaks on a bun. Filet mignon, ribeye, New York strip, sirloin, and even brisket burgers. Now is the time to experience the exclusive Burger Perfection Flight for just $79.99. Go to omahasteaks.com and use promo code TREAT at checkout to get an extra $20 off your order plus free shipping. You'll get four of each pure ground burger so you can sample all the steak on a bun greatness. These burgers are crafted for a juicier, more tender experience, making your mouth water with every single bite. Don't wait. Go to omahasteaks.com. Use promo code TREAT at checkout and get $20 off the Burger Perfection Flight and discover your new burger obsession. Minimum order may be required.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com. The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Decades after Jimmy Carter, Joe Biden picked up where he left off. With America surrendering to terrorists, Biden's foolish spending is causing inflation, which means more pain at the pump, higher prices on groceries, devaluing your retirement savings when you need it most. Once was a mistake. Twice is a disaster. America needs strong leaders, not weak ones. Save America JFC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Some say around the world in 180 days or around the world in 80 days. What about around the world in less than an hour? Free speech being the topic, ladies and gentlemen. James and Sam break it all down just for you. Look, worldwide, they're trying to shut down Americans and people of the world who stand for free speech. We talked about Peter Navarro. I think that's a cover story for much worse cases they don't want to talk about. Samuel Malia, or however you say his name, look, going to prison for what? Because he let people download stickers with messages on them. That's chilling around the world, to say the least. But now we talk about Belgium should be ashamed. We're talking about American Renaissance. A court in Belgium sentenced activist Dries van, however you say his name,
Langenhove,
to a year in prison. What? For running an online organization that they say, the judge says, spreads, quote, racist and hateful Nazi and I don't even know how to say this word, negationist speech, which I guess has to do with, they're saying he's a historical revisionist, that somehow he changes the game here. No, he has every right to his opinion, but it gets worse. That's in the UK. That's in Belgium. Now we're going to Canada, ladies and gentlemen. James?
And in Canada, there is a piece of legislation that they're trying to get up for a vote called the Online Harms Act. And basically, and what is hate speech? Again, it's any speech that the left hates. And if you are engaged, if you are convicted of having peddled in hate speech in Canada, if this law passes, they already have some pretty stiff penalties up there, mind you, you know, much more so than in America, where you're just a pariah. Then you could be sentenced to tens of thousands of dollars in fines and up to, hear me now, folks, life in prison. Life in prison if the so-called and very misnamed and very Orwellian Online Harms Act becomes law in Canada. And again, when you're talking about hate speech, look, I understand, folks, if you Google any of these stories, you Google any of these people, how is the media going to portray them? They're going to use all the buzzwords, all in the same article, by the way. White supremacist, neo-Nazi, anti-Semite. They want to make them really scary. I don't think any of these people are those things, number one. And number two, even if they were, does it mean that people shouldn't have a right to their opinion? When you're talking about these cases, none of these people, nobody that I have ever known or heard of, have ever said anything like, we need to go out and kill a group of people just because of the color of their skin or the way they were born. I have never met anyone. Now, that might rise up to the level of some sort of a hate speech that, you know, it kind of concerns you. And even then, I don't know what you could do legally under the First Amendment. But I guess if it comes to a point where you're, we have a First Amendment, obviously in Europe they don't. But
let me just be clear. They don't have a right to free speech documented by their rule of law in any country but the United States is the point. Once America falls, the rest of the world falls, James. That's where this is headed as well.
Well, it's pretty much fallen. I think now, again, if you're doing something where you say we got to go kill all the Jews, we got to kill all the, you know, blacks or whomever, homosexuals. All right, at that point, then I think you got to do something with people if they're actively engaging for and calling for violence. I don't know what you do, but you may be something. But we're not even talking about that. Now, I know they're being called all of these things. They're going to make you think that that's the kind of stuff they're saying. What they're saying is it's okay to be white, or somebody mocks, you know, a black person and you're going to prison for not stopping him. You know, look, people mock whites and Christians and heterosexuals all the time. They don't go to prison. It's all over the media, all over the TV, all over movies, every single time you go out. So, I mean, again, offensive stuff, comedy, parody, whatever. But in the UK, we started off in America with Navarro. We went over to the UK. We looked at the case of Sam Melia. It's okay to be white stickers. You're gone. Your wife's going to have that baby alone. In the UK, a rising star in Belgium, in Belgium, a rising star in Belgium politics, member of parliament. He's gone. He's going to prison. All right. Not a fine. Not losing his Twitter account. He's actually still got his Twitter account, if you can believe it. I don't, but he does. And he's going to a prison. And then you come back to Canada, a little bit closer to home, and you've got they're trying to pass this Online Harms Act where you could go to prison for the rest of your life for what? For nothing. And then we come back to America. And this is now a big news story. And it takes place in Little Enid, Oklahoma. But the story reads, in February 2023, Judd Blevins won a seat in the city council of Enid, Oklahoma. It's a conservative city in a conservative state, and with more of 60% of the voters leaning GOP. All right, so this is a guy, conservative guy. He wins this seat. However, the story continues. A coalition of extreme left-wing organizers in alliance with the national media are trying to recall him now. And why are they recalling this duly elected member of the city council in Enid, Oklahoma? Why are they recalling him after the voters put him in office? Well, they said he was a member of a group called Identity Europa, a pro-white group. No longer in operation. I think it was around for a year or two. And that he went to the Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville. Now, again, a lot of misinformation. The narrative really got set in concrete quick on that. But what was going on in Charlottesville, everybody knows Charlottesville. They call it the deadly white supremacist, neo-Nazi, whatever they call all of us, rally in Charlottesville. It was a group of people that were understandably upset about the monuments to so many American heroes being torn down and desecrated by the mob. And there was a monument to Robert E. Lee, the great Christian Confederate general, that they have since melted down in Charlottesville. But at the time, a group of people got together and they wanted to demonstrate, which is a First Amendment right to demonstrate, to exercise your freedom of speech and assembly on public property, a city park, to say we want to maintain this historical monument. And of course, the media portrayed them as entirely as the troublemakers. And if you don't understand this, if you don't understand this story, then I don't know what I can do for you. But what happened there in Charlottesville, and this isn't my spin on it, this is just the facts. The facts are that Antifa and Black Lives Matter were there on the periphery, standing by, waiting to wreak havoc. And you did have violence that day. You had violence because the state of Virginia and the city of Charlottesville law enforcement did not do their duty in protecting the right for the demonstrators, the people
in
who
fact,
had a permit.
They did the opposite, James, because the demonstrators had a permit. They did the opposite. They knew full well this would spill into violence, and they literally forced the two groups together intentionally.
Exactly. That's exactly what happened. If you're the Ku Klux Klan or the neo-Nazis or Black Lives Matter, the NAACP, you have a right here in America. No matter how offensive somebody may believe your speech to be, I'm very much offended by Black Lives Matter, all right? But I say that they have the right to obtain a permit and demonstrate on the public square, all right? But that doesn't exist for people on
that are conservative. And let me explain further. Not only do they have a right to do that, we wouldn't be in there mixing it up with violent intentions.
Exactly.
Either.
Exactly. And so that's what happened in Charlottesville. And then the police, I've never seen anything like it. The police watched people getting beaten, I mean savagely beaten, within feet. And the police are standing like a phalanx, and they're not moving. And they are watching this happen. Can you imagine hundreds of police officers watching people just beat the hell out of one another? And you had people there on the other side, on the Black Lives Matter side, on the Antifa side, throwing bricks and urine and feces. One guy had an improvised flamethrower. They were attacking these people that were there, the Unite the Right people. And none of these people got in trouble. All right. None of these people got in trouble. But now, and of course,
why
the media.
We also got to find out. We got to follow the money. Were they paid to promote the
violent regime?
What's happening, people?
And the reason I go into Charlottesville now, that's, I guess, old news, but it's something that really changed the way things happen here. You had the law enforcement of the state of Virginia and the city of Charlottesville watching this melee, not doing anything to stop the violence. Can you imagine police officers watching people beat the hell out of each other and not stopping it? It's unimaginable, but that's what happened. And then the media,
it's unacceptable.
Did what it does.
By the way, hold on. By the way, if it was Antifa and Black Lives Matter fighting over some issue, and they were in the streets, we would want the cops to stop that violence.
That's right. Sure.
As well, ladies and gentlemen. Let's be very clear.
Okay, and that is it. That is right. Now, that said, now why am I getting back into Charlottesville? So that's what happened. The media did what it did immediately after the event took place that they guaranteed that there would be violence at. Now they can say, well, you see what happens when you let these people have rights? It's just this fun. Well, they made sure there was violence. And then, of course, they said everybody that was there that was to preserve the historical monument were racist, anti-Semites, neo-Nazis. I will tell you this. I don't know.
Go ahead and skip the break.
I don't know everybody who was there. There were thousands of people there. I don't know every single person who was there. But every single person that I do know who was there, of the people that I do know that were there, not a one would I say is anything less than a stand-up guy, a stand-up man or woman. And I probably knew a couple of hundred people who were there that day. Every single one would be welcome in my home. Every single one should be welcome in your home. These are good people, God-fearing, tax-paying, hardworking. All right, all of that. But so I know that the people on our side or on my side or on the side of the monument,
now,
the
this
permit
is
holders.
Patriot Front leader Thomas Rasu, is that how you say it?
Well, that's another one. I'm about to touch on that, but I'm sorry, Sam. I took the long way around here. I'm just saying, in the case of Judd Blevins, this guy in Enid, Oklahoma, all right, they are recalling him now because he went to Charlottesville. And I wanted to bring up some of the chain of events in Charlottesville just to let you know. And so he is now a duly elected member of the city council in Enid, Oklahoma. And because he went to Charlottesville to preserve this historical monument, this work of art, he is now being recalled. And the people leading the charge to recall him, one is a guy named Father James Neal, and he preaches that Christ was the first transgender. Christ is trans. Drag Bible story hour starts at 3:30 at his church. The public drag show concept is really gaining traction. And this is stuff he's celebrating as a so-called clergy. And you got the national press, I think it was ABC maybe, that's interviewing him in his clerical garb, you know, presenting him as some sort of a Christian. And he's saying, well, we got to stop this hate here, and we got to get Judd Blevins out. And so because Judd Blevins, I met Judd Blevins, all right? This is the thing. I know these people. I know Dries Van Langenhove. I know people who know Sam Melia. I know Judd Blevins. I met him in Texas last year. I was giving a talk, and he was one of the people in the audience, and he told me what was going on. They were after him then. And it hadn't got to the point of a recall. And you just know people when you meet them, Sam. This guy just looks like a good conservative country guy. Yes, he went to Charlottesville, Virginia to try to voice his freedom of speech on behalf of a historical monument to Robert E. Lee. And because of that, they are recalling him. He got elected, all right? If they are able to pull this off and have him be recalled and taken out of office because of this media smear campaign, all right, he has very little money. He's fighting to retain his seat. The recall is scheduled for April 2nd. This is coming up in just a few days, and it's going to be a real powerful test of whether the racial double standard against whites is beginning to fade, or if with NBC, it's NBC and transgendered advocates going to be able to, and this obese purple hair woman going to be able to take him out of his seat. Very chilling. This is a case where, hey, what about democracy? Hey, the people of Oklahoma elected him, and they knew when they elected him that he had gone to the Unite the Right rally. This came out before his election. All right, so how did they get it on the ballot to recall this guy? This was already news before he got elected. This isn't anything that they just found out about. And even if he still
again,
got elected.
We talk about election fraud. This is another example of the way they commit election fraud. We don't care what the people's will is for Donald Trump. We don't care what the people's will is for Judge Levins or Blevins. We don't care about any of that kind of stuff. We want our way, and we're going to get it by manipulation and fraud or force. We don't care how we get it as long as we get it. Now, hopefully this will fail, right?
Well, we'll find out on April the 2nd. But, you know, it is interesting. And if it doesn't fail, if this is just a small test case because it's just a small one of several city council seats in Enid, Oklahoma, this his particular district in this small city. You know, we'll see. But hopefully people will see through this and say, hey, you know, if they're calling you a racist, if they're calling you all of these things, that just means you're a conservative. That just means you're one of us. You stand against the establishment. You stand against radical, hardcore leftism, communism, Marxism, Black Lives Matter, Antifa. And again, a guy that's been elected and they're going
to well, understand
it's on the
James,
ballot
you mentioned this is a small issue for a small, you know, office in Michigan or whatever that doesn't or in Oklahoma. I'm sorry, it doesn't matter too much. OK, but it does matter because once they get their foot in the door on this, they'll start doing this nationwide. And if we don't stop it, they're going to do it in your face and say, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah,
pretty soon they're going to be blatantly saying, of course we commit election fraud. Why wouldn't we? Our guys
exactly.
are in charge. Shut up, sit down, you speak out, you're going to jail.
Any means necessary. That's the motto. And in the UK, if you're doing good work, you got a member of parliament over there, we're going to put you in prison, make it where you can't run for office for 10 years because you were in a group chat where somebody else said something that we don't like. All right, that's what's going on in Europe. Here in America, how much different is this, Sam? This is a guy who it was already a news story when he first got elected that he was at Charlottesville, but now they managed to get it, somehow managed to maneuver a recall. And I don't see there being any difference. This is supposed to be the land of the free and the home of the brave. It's not that. And it is, we are rapidly becoming more close to the totalitarian regime. They want to stand up for democracy. Democracy spoke. They elected Judd Blevins. You're trying to undo democracy here. You're trying to do whatever you can to stop the will of the people from being done and to intimidate and to make sure that people get the message. If you say things we don't like, we will put you in prison if we can. We will run you out of office if we can. We will do anything and everything. And in little Enid, Oklahoma, the people have a chance to say, enough. We're not going for it. We're gonna send this guy back. And so we'll see what happens, and we'll find out what happens in a few days. But one more thing I wanted to touch on was the situation also linked to Charlottesville with a guy named Thomas Rousseau. Thomas Rousseau, a guy I also met at an event last year. All right, I go around, I get around, and people show up, I meet him. And he seemed like a good guy to me.
There you go.
All right, I talked to him for, you know, maybe an hour. I know people who know him, and I've never heard anything that's troubling to me. He was arrested in Texas a few days ago, and your buddy Tim Dickinson wrote this article for Rolling Stone. All of this stuff is big-time news. NBC was reporting on Judd Blevins and his election in Enid. I met Judd. We know Dries Van Langenhove. We know these people. Rolling Stone, Patriot Front leader booked on intimidation charges in Charlottesville. So what happened in Charlottesville was the night before the public rallied to defend the Lee Monument, which they had a permit for, which was upheld by a judge at the night before. And at the time, the ACLU was even on the side of the Unite the Right demonstrators because it was free speech. It's public assembly. It's First Amendment. It's all of that. And then the media went to work, and now everybody just thinks it was pure evil versus pure good, and it wasn't anything like that. But
they even attacked Donald Trump for saying there's extremists and good people on both sides. That's some of the most important wisdom on the topic I've heard to date, by the way, James.
It really was, and like I said, everybody that I know that went there, I would say is a good guy. I don't know everybody that went there ostensibly on our side. I'm sure there were some people in that sea of humanity that I probably would want to keep
at
an arm's distance from me, but that's not the point.
Criminal activity, prosecute, fine.
But what about these other guys? You know, what about their people?
Well, that's the problem.
Well, you got this guy Rousseau now, who was pulled over the other day in Texas for just a random traffic violation. I don't know if it was a speeding ticket or he had a busted taillight. It was just a random traffic stop, you know. And I get those all the time. By the way, I'm glad I'm covering this because I got a speeding ticket that I got to pay before the first week of April. So writing that down right now. I get pulled over.
Yeah, get it done and you end up being in jail, James, because you know, racist.
Well,
speeding.
What happened was he got pulled over, and of course, you know how it happens.
You know how they say something while black, you know, walking while black or this while black. So you know, speeding while racist, you could go to prison for that, buddy.
Well, what happened was in this case was when, you know, the officer comes over, he asks for your ID, he goes back and runs it. And when he ran Rousseau's ID, it showed that he had a warrant in Virginia unbeknownst to him. It was a bench warrant, and they were just waiting for a cop to trip over him for this, you know, wasn't a high-profile thing where they were sending out, you know, bounty hunters or anything. But he had a warrant, and when a cop pulled him over, ran his license, he said, hey, we got a warrant. We got to take you in. He got extradited from Texas to Virginia, and the charge was he lit an object with the intent to intimidate. So what they did was they went to a Thomas Jefferson monument on public property at the University of Virginia with tiki torches. Everybody knows the infamous tiki torch march. All right. They knew they were going to be there. All right. People knew they were going to be there. They had talked to the law enforcement about it. What happened there? Bunch of Antifa and Black Lives Matter show up. All right. The bunch of Antifa and Black Lives Matter show up. And then they said, oh, my God, I was so intimidated by these tiki torches. Well, lighting, a torch lit march is an American tradition. Number one. A lot of different groups have done it over the course of American
history.
Yeah,
it's Christian-based because it relates to shining the light of Christ is what it really amounts to. But they've perverted it, right?
It's a beautiful thing. I mean, light in the darkness is a beautiful thing. It's symbolic, all right? But
that's
the people
right.
there said, well, they were doing this. It was intimidating. Let me remind you folks, this was 8 years ago. 7 years ago, 2017. This was 7 years ago. And only now are they beginning to arrest people for this because you had a changing of the guard in the DA's office in Charlottesville, and now they're retroactively going after all these people. And you would say, well, lighting a tiki torch, what's the statute of limitations for lighting a tiki torch in Virginia? If it is a felony in the state
problem.
Of Virginia.
Here's the problem. It isn't lighting the tiki torch. It's the intention behind it. It's the thought police determining it's a hate crime from the get-go.
That's it.
That's the problem. There's no crime committed. There's no victim. This is insanity.
It is insanity. And you could say, I don't agree with Thomas Rousseau. I don't agree with some of the things I've read about him. Here's the thing, folks. You don't think they're going to stop there? You know, did they stop with Robert E. Lee? No, they went after every America hero in American history after that in terms of the monuments and the rewriting of history. But so with Rousseau, the thing is, there is no statute of limitations on any felony in the state of Virginia. You would say, well, statute of limitations, you know, stuff runs out unless it's like murder, you know, unless it's murder, isn't there a statute of limitations? Not in the state of Virginia on any felony. And the new DA upped this to terrorist intimidation. And so that therefore it raises to the
wow,
the
are they
going to
file that against the IRS cuz they're guilty in Virginia all the time.
Well, they've got so now it they've trumped up the charge to where it rises to the level of a felony, and now 7 years later they're going after people who lit tiki torches. All right, so this is what I'm talking about. Now, what about Black Lives Matter when they light up police stations and city blocks and burn down cities? You know,
that's
that
no
lighting
problem.
With
no
the intent
harm, no foul,
that,
buddy.
They don't get arrested, and if they do, they get paid for their trouble, as we saw in New York, big time payouts.
Yeah, and their
pay.
Attorneys just come to the stage and say they're observers. That's what they are. They're observers.
You know. Or peaceful protesters, or mostly peaceful protesters. And so, but all right, so Sam Melia, Dries Van Langenhoven, what's going on in Canada? The headline reads, the Liberals' online harms law is a full frontal assault on freedom of speech, all right? The case of Judd Blevins in Enid, Oklahoma, Thomas Rousseau, met a guy not long ago who was in January 6th. Didn't even go in the building, and he's going to prison. His sentencing is coming up in a few days.
And they're trying to toss me in prison right now because they say I interviewed Stuart Rhodes the day before, and therefore I'm literally linked to J6, even though I didn't go and told everybody not to go.
Links and again, now they're getting people that didn't even go in the building. This is true. Young guy also expecting a child. All right, so all of this, you put it together, what do you see? What's the message? The message is to shut up, stay off the streets. We will ruin you. We will bankrupt you. We will put you in prison. If you're elected, forget it. We're going to make it where you can't even run again. We're going to recall you in Enid. We're going to ban you from running in Europe. This is what's happening,
we're
folks.
We're going to shut you down in Belgium.
Absolutely
we're going to tie you to Charlottesville or January the 6th as a terrorist, racist, hater, etc. Ladies and gentlemen, bottom line, James and Sam, break it all down, okay? We're slicing through the media spin and manipulation. The fact is they want to create they're trying to stamp out any free speech. They want to shut it down globally, ladies and gentlemen. And that's where this is headed. In all these cases, you're not hearing about in the mainstream press. You're just hearing, oh, Peter was bad because he wouldn't go to the, you know, he wouldn't testify. What about all of Joe Biden's people who won't testify in court either? Where's the prosecutions for that? The double standard is highlighted as they violate free speech everywhere in the world, and it's getting worse, and they're eventually coming for you. That's the message, ladies and gentlemen. James Edwards with me, thepoliticalcesspool.org. I am Sam Bushman, libertyroundtable.com, our nationally syndicated radio networks, lovingliberty.net, Brighty on Radio, and more. Spread the word, share the love, and God save the Republic of the United States of America.